listening to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast, your source for all the latest post-apocalyptic news.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Derek. I am joined by Sean.
Hey everyone.
Stephanie.
Hello.
And a very special guest, Val.
Hi.
We have known Val for a long time, but you, as our podcast audience, may not know Val so well. So I'll give a brief introduction. We're getting on Twitch, so we thought, what better than to get a Twitch veteran on the stream and to join
us. So much pressure.
We're really leaning on Val for this, for the entertainment factor.
Take it away, Val.
Oh my God, no.
Val has been with us for a while. In fact, if you've listened to a podcast, then you've seen her fingerprints on the editing aspect, because she's been editing all of our podcasts from the start. Part of the strategy insofar as building the website and getting that podcast out there. She's also an avid Twitch streamer and does so, what, 4 days a week?
5 days a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Six. Yes.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. Also, episode number one was edited by Sean. Just, you know, he did some work, too.
That's the bad one.
It's the one without a background. That's all.
Yeah. So I actually didn't know that. So sorry, Sean, for selling you short.
I didn't mean to put you under the bus. They throw you under the bus. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's all right. It's
fine. We have several things to talk about today, and I'm going to get right into it. But first of all, I just want to say here at the top of the podcast, welcome. We're on Twitch right now. If you're listening some other way, I guess there's no other way to listen. But if you're on Twitch, you can comment, and we will see that. This isn't pre-recorded and just, like, thrown up on Twitch as a lark. We're real, and we're here, ready to talk to you. So there's that. Also, we're going to be talking at the end of the podcast about a currently airing TV show. And the reason we put that at the end is because we don't want to spoil it for you. Mm-hmm. And you don't want us to spoil it. So if you're watching Fear the Walking Dead and you've seen the new episode that just came out, then stick around till the end, because we're going to be talking about that. It was really good, and I'm excited to talk about it, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I know Stephanie has seen it. Sean, Val, have y'all seen it?
Nope.
No.
Oh, okay, so I will be spoiling it for two people.
Well, I read Stephanie's article, so.
Oh, well, sorry, you're all caught up.
I'm all caught up.
I smiled earlier today, and my face broke. So if you're watching the video, like, my lip just, like, split in two.
Oh, no.
So
is that what it is to be old, Derek?
I think that this body is just, like, falling apart.
Oy.
Come on, Elon Musk. Hurry up with that brain transfer. You know, Neuralink, they're trying to transfer brains.
Yeah.
That's, like, the ultimate goal. And yeah, I'll be first in line. Put me in a better body than this one. Come on. Come on, body.
What if you don't get to choose your body, though?
So, like, they give you a crap body on purpose?
Yeah. Well, not on purpose, but it's like they have, like, this pile of, you know, when you donate your body, you know, to science. So you don't get to choose which body you get to. So what if you're, like, a 90-year-old woman, right? But you're healthy. But, I mean, you got really bad knees instead of a crap lipped. So I don't know which one you prefer.
Oh my gosh, that is a can of worms right there. I mean, you know, I don't want to offend the 90-year-old women who watch our podcast.
On
no,
right now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, right
yeah.
now.
Sorry,
Twitch.
Grandma. Didn't mean to.
I mean, but what if you could be put into a cat? You know, temporarily, even
Dude,
until
yes.
there was. Yes, right? I would be all for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, no more bills to pay or anything? Except
right?
like you can't think in human thoughts, but you're a cat?
Yeah, but you're a cat.
But then you need to clean yourself with your tongue, which is not cool.
But no
bills.
I used
to have a cat that would clean another cat. So
oh, you need one
had it made. Yeah.
Yeah, you purchase the cleaning cat to go with your cat body.
I've told Derek before that I would take the opportunity to become a cat, but he said he would give better treats to our cat Mufasa. Like, I don't think Derek would be thrilled if I turned into a cat.
You get the dry food, Mufasa gets the wet food.
Stephanie would be the laziest cat. Like, she would put cats to shame with how lazy she'd be. And yeah, I'm not having that. And this is what people tune into this podcast for, is a good cat-centered conversation,
yeah.
Which we're going to talk about our TikTok later, which is seeing some success with cat-centered post-apocalyptic genre.
Catastrophes.
But before we go too deep into that, I just want to talk about some of the new things that are happening in the post-apocalyptic space. Mm. Give people just kind of a bird's eye view of what's going on April 2021. And I guess I should start out with what's new. No, I shouldn't. I'm going to save that for after the old stuff, because people don't tune in for every podcast. If you have, this is going to be 20 seconds, but I'm just going to go down the list. Fear of the Walking Dead, back already. Ashwalkers, if you're, that's April 15th. So it'll be the day before this comes out on the normal podcast channels. But what is that, 3 days from now? 2 days? 2 days. 2 days from now, Ashwalkers the game. The next day, Mortal Kombat the movie. Also, BIOS the movie. No.
No.
No, we, fake news.
that's been moved.
Yeah, that one sadly has been moved. Don't want to believe
COVID.
It.
Bummer.
A Quiet Place, April 23rd. Handmaid's Tale, April 28th.
Handmaid's Tale, that's a big one. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited about that, kind of.
Kind of.
It's because it's dystopian and not really post-apoc, right? That's why.
And very dark.
You know, I saw an interview with the author. What's her name? Margaret Atwood?
Yes.
Yeah. And she said that everyone thinks it's sci-fi, Handmaid's Tale sci-fi, but she took everything from actual things that are happening around the world that have happened in the past or whatever. So she's like, it's not sci-fi. It's just a report on the way things are, just kind of mixed together in different ways. I thought that was interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And she recently came out with a sequel, like, not too long ago. So more material for the series.
So, like, do you know where we are in her material? Are we following it closely? Is the show going off?
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't read the book. So, I mean, what I've heard is it has deviated quite a bit. But I really couldn't tell you the details. I used to be a little clearer on the details. I have to look that back up.
I think the next season is going to get into that sequel.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That will be interesting.
Sure. I'll be right back. I forgot to close this door, and people are going to hear weird stuff if I don't.
Like our cat.
Weird stuff. Yeah. Is he eating the dry or the wet food today? Is it a crunch or a...
Yes.
Sorry, mouth noises. People usually aren't big in that one.
All right, so here's the news of the day. Two trailers came out today that I want to talk about. One of them is Godzilla on Netflix. And I just want to bring up, first of all, Netflix is leaning really hard into post-apocalyptic. I mean, both of these new trailers are Netflix. And Netflix has actually made three Godzilla movies in anime in the last couple years. And they're weird.
They're weird? I haven't seen them. Are they related?
I don't... I don't think that the new one they announced today is related to that trilogy. Those three were related. They were a trilogy. And mild spoilers in what I'm about to say about them. They have a very imaginative view of the Godzilla franchise. And they basically have a... They go way super sci-fi. So it's like humans fled Earth because Godzilla was too powerful and just destroyed all humans on Earth. So we fled Earth. En route to fleeing Earth, we encountered two other aliens species that are now, like, with us. And then, for some reason, like, humans have to. They had no choice but to go back to Earth. And that sets up the first Godzilla movie in that franchise.
Huh.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting.
Why did they leave Earth in the first place? I'm sorry, did you mention?
Godzilla-related deaths.
Deaths? All right. So, okay.
Very
They left Earth for Godzilla, and then they are come back to Earth because of Godzilla. That's great.
Yeah, it's like 10,000 years after we left Earth.
Huh. And, oh, wow. Okay, that's a big time lapse.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Very anime-esque setup for that trilogy. So it looks like the new one isn't going to follow that because it looks more... Doesn't it look more like a traditional Godzilla setup? You guys watched the trailer.
I didn't watch the other ones.
It seems to be kind of futuristic sci-fi, but in a different way. They're talking about the anime talked about, trailer talked about some creature cat. There's a cat in it who, like, a computerized cat that can predict the future or something. It's in the
question mark.
Was this a dream you had?
It was Netflix Godzilla Singular Prime, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you watched it, Sean.
There's a cat.
There was funny.
I just picture you, like, you're watching it and you're like not paying attention. And then they said cat and you're like, what? Wait, what?
Did you see the cat? That's like the main character in Godzilla.
There was a digital cat predicting the future.
Yeah.
Probably. You're probably right, but I didn't notice the digital cat predicting the future. Is that the Oracle?
It's so funny. Like, for me, that was like the biggest. That was like the biggest part of the trailer for me. And then other people are like, "What? That happened?" Yes.
Just throw a cat in there if you want Steph to be interested in something. Yep. Hey,
put a
hey,
cat
Steph,
on it.
There's a cat. Sweet.
So, so yeah. So that's happening. Golly, we are having lots of Godzilla related content lately. I don't know what's up with that. Like, we had King of Monsters not too long ago. It was like 2019. Yeah. And then we just had Godzilla Kong, which is super popular. I haven't seen it yet.
Me neither.
None of us have seen it.
No.
No.
Clearly.
It's super popular, but nobody's seen it. Everybody knows it's out.
One person versus another person movies don't typically appeal to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Superman versus Batman.
Right, yeah. Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, all of those. I'm like, band service.
Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, but that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. The end was like, what? We need a second one. Is there a second
one? Is that considered canon in the Alien franchise?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Just kind of curious.
What? It has to. I mean, come on. That's a IP.
That was a one off, though, right?
Somebody owns. I think there was a two. I don't think I saw the second one, but I think there was a second one. They have it like the Predators fighting off an army of aliens on some planet. It was a long time ago. It was like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah,
it came out.
Yeah. I don't know. Was it? I don't know. It feels like it was a long time ago, but it might not be. But yeah, it was like a very good movie, but I don't remember hearing about a second one, or else I'm super interested into seeing it because they kind of leave you with a cliffhanger, right? It's like you think the movie's done, but then there's a scene at the end where you're like, no, I need to know what happened next. But like nothing happens next because it's done. So
Yeah. But nothing happens next.
What's in the scene? I can't remember.
Okay, so there's like, I think it was a predator that is dead, like on the one on the bed in the one of the spaceship, and then the alien comes out of its stomach, like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, and isn't that like a combination genetically of the creature that it's born from? So it's going to be like part predator.
Yeah. That's not good.
No.
That's catastrophic end of world kind of stuff right there.
Yeah.
No, but to be clear, as a Predator movie enthusiast, I guess you could say, the Predators are technologically superior. That's why they're formidable. I don't think physiologically they're really any better than a human being. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Do they need their gear to go invisible? I can't remember. Or if that's like a bio thing. They need their gear.
Yeah.
Then of course, like, I think aliens would definitely dominate them if they didn't have access to their tech.
Okay, so we've got that trailer. By the way, if you're sitting at home, you're wondering, why aren't they just showing us the trailer? We would like to do that. And if we were CNN, we could probably pull that off. The problem is we don't have the kind of connections. And so we've tried that in the past. And what they do is some stupid AI bot somewhere goes, oh, I recognize that. That's a copyrighted thing. Strike.
Yep.
And then we have a whole world of problems on our end to just get the content to you. So use your imagination and imagine these trailers that we're describing, and maybe you can Google them later.
Sean, you can do the sound effects.
We need him to reenact the whole trailer for us.
I'll do the background music.
Oh my god.
Okay, so the next one, also a Netflix movie, also, well, I'm not going to say it's post-apocalyptic because that is actually a topic of conversation on this next one. Army of the Dead. Big IP. What's the history of that IP? I know I've heard that before.
Yeah. Well, Zack Snyder's doing it. 2004. It's kind of like a, you know, he likes to remake stuff. I don't know what his deal is with that. But, yeah, I mean, all the of the Dead movies, you know, they're not all related, but they're kind of, you know, like they're zombie movies. And I would argue that this is post-apocalyptic because, well, I mean, there's a big apocalyptic event that happens. It's the uprising of the undead. Yep. And in the trailer, actually, this trailer we saw today, was the first kind of plot trailer. You know, it was the first one. The other ones have just shown, I think there's one earlier one that just showed the action. And it has Dave Bautista, you know, and everyone loves him. So they show him. But this one kind of shows a little bit more of the backstory. You know, he was this guy who was like a cook at a Greasy Spoon. And they someone comes up to him and offers him $50 million to pull off one last bank heist, you know, if he can get the team back together again, you know, one of those. And the first half, actually, exactly the first half, I think it's a 3-minute trailer. And I think at the 1 minute, 1.5 minute mark is when it changes. But the first half is very tropey. You know, it's very like, you know, typical heist movie. There's a montage and there's all this stuff where he's doing all this stuff. And you look at it and you're like, this is really cheesy.
Yeah.
But then it starts bringing out the undead and you see this just endless undead, you know, as far as you can see. When they come, okay, so they do a bank heist, they get out of the bank, and then they have to fight undead. So it's a little silly, you know, but at the same time, they brought up one thing which I thought was very interesting, is that the undead are organized and they're smart.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they have an organization to them, they're quick, they're a lot faster. They show him fighting one with a sword, and it's dodging out of the way of his sword attacks. I mean, could you imagine Rick trying to do that?
Right.
Yeah, Rick would pull out his gun and the one shot, you know, one shot, one kill to the head, and he'd miss, and he'd be like,
what
do I do now? So,
Coral.
Yeah, Coral.
Oh, wait, Coral's dead.
Too soon. It's just, I think the second half was really good. I think the way they did the trailer was kind of cool, where you're looking at it going, this is going to be another zombie movie, another, you know, heist movie or whatever, but It's kind of cool toward the mm-hmm. end. The action looks really, really cool. I liked it.
That they even have a zombie tiger.
Yeah.
And it seems like they have like a mate too. Like you can see like two of the zombies. They're like the leaders. There's like a woman and a man.
Oh.
And yeah, they're like, yeah, it's like super primal, but
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Sean, your reaction was exactly my reaction when I was watching it. Because I started out thinking, okay, this is just a heist movie. I'm not really into those. Boring. And the longer the trailer went, the more and more it sold me on it. And I was just like, it looks good. It looks intriguing. Yeah. And I'm Garrett Dillahunt from Fear of the Walking Dead is in it. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
And there's also...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say there's also an actor in it from Star Trek Discovery that isn't really post-apocalyptic, but I like the actor, and she's in it.
Now, you report on sometimes because you write about Hallmark for your day job, and you report on this actress who played like Wendy Testaberger or something like that from Growing Pains? No, it wasn't Growing Pains.
Are you talking about Candace Cameron Bure from... Or are you talking about... I mean, who...
The one with the bulging eyes. Who's the actress?
Oh, Danica. Danica McKellar.
Yeah,
right?
is she in that
from
movie?
From Wonder Years? Was it Wonder
Years? Yeah, from Wonder Years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she in that trailer? There's an actress with kind of bulging eyes, and I thought that might be her.
You know what? There isn't. I think I know who you're talking about, and she looked really familiar to me. Was not Danica, although how amazing would that have been? Yeah. Oh my gosh, if Danica McKellar were ever in a zombie movie, that would be amazing. But I don't know who that was.
Who was the Star Trek Discovery one that you recognized?
She, I don't know if you'll recognize the name, Derek.
Tig. Okay, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. I see Tig in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Now she, I think I first saw her in Portlandia.
Really?
And
now she's
going places. I guess she was already famous when she was making an appearance in Portlandia.
Yeah, she's... quite famous.
So that movie
looks great.
It's Army of the Dead. I'm gonna go with the not post-apocalyptic angle. I'm gonna go with this is a local event that isn't a danger to humanity's survival. So we don't know yet, but based upon the trailer, it's vague. But there's certainly a very credible threat of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lurking. But then, like, you gotta ask, like, Resident Evil 1, that was a localized zombie threat as well, that was post-apocalyptic based on what happened afterwards. So, yeah, it's kind of in that gray area right now. Looks really good. The graphics look amazing.
The graphics.
I was gonna say.
It's a movie, not a game.
I'm at the CGI.
Yeah. Sean is ornery today. It's a film, Derek. So that was the new Army of the Dead trailer. Where the Godzilla movie is called Godzilla Singular Point.
Oh, Singular Point.
Singular Point. And what a weird subtitle for a Godzilla movie. I'm sure it'll make sense once we see it. Pacific Rim
is the singular point.
I recently finished Pacific Rim the Black, which is a Netflix anime. It's like Netflix has a whole office that's just post-apocalyptic anime devout people. Pacific Rim the Black. By the way, Tina wrote a review on our website. In fact, I think there's two articles on the topic. So if you want to dive into that, go check that out. I just finished it. I have mixed feelings about it. I love Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim is especially that first movie, but the second movie was also fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I have mixed feelings on the anime. I guess I should I shouldn't go too deep and into why, because there's a lot to like about it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've only seen half of it. I didn't have time to finish the anime, but I really liked the beginning of it. So I don't know. It's I can't really compare it to the movies either. It's like very, very different, I find. Mm. But
yeah, it kind of puts the focus more more zoomed in than the movies did, and the movies were a zoomed out kind of global geopolitical kind of focus that I really, really liked. And the series is following a group of people who are kind of disconnected from that whole thing. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'll leave it up to you. I really don't want to spoil it, so I'm just going to leave it at that in what my criticisms were at the end. But especially, yeah, Val hasn't even seen the end yet.
Yeah.
Moving on, Outriders. Did we talk about this last week?
Is that the game?
That's the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk about it a little bit.
All right. Just wanted to make sure we covered that. It looks really good, and it's post-apocalyptic. I verified on the internet, so...
and the internet is always right.
Take it up with the internet if you have a problem with that conclusion. It is post-apocalyptic. Yeah, it looks like so much fun. I'm kind of looking forward to getting into it. I haven't yet, but I plan to. All right. Well, with all that said, let's go ahead and jump into the first major topic of the day, Wasteland Weekend's new rule. So take it away, Sean.
All right. So they are now requiring that everyone who attends Wasteland Weekend get a vaccine from the coronavirus. And this is in part because of California's own laws. You know, Well, they don't know what's going to happen after. I think it's June 15th, something like that. There's supposed to be a change. Like, all the current mask regulations and all that is supposed to expire on June 15th, somewhere around there. So the organizers are saying, as far as masks go, they're going to wait and see what happens with that. But so far, they're requiring the vaccine. They say that that's just, you know, just something that they are doing themselves. It's not even, that part's not even like a law. It's just something they think should be done. Mm-hmm. The event happens in September, so there's still a lot of time left. You know, anything could happen between now and then. But I think it's interesting that they're kind of taking this stance, you know, so early. But at the same time, this stuff, you know, this has been going on for a year. I mean, last year they had to cancel the event because of this. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time they've canceled it in 10 years. Yeah, okay. So I mean, it's interesting to see that this approach, and at the same time, there are a lot of people who hate it. A lot of people are arguing.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just people who are anti-vaccine. It's just a lot of people who are like, how can you tell me, you know, what I should do medically before I go? You know, those kind of things. Yeah. A lot of people are saying, well, you better not do the mask thing, because if you know, why do you need the mask and the vaccine? Like, so it turned into kind of a major crap show, I guess you could say, in the comments. But I like how on the site, I mean, for me, it doesn't matter, you know, what side of the vaccine argument you're on. This is their private event, you know, they can kind of tell you
what
to
do.
If you want to go. Yeah. And like on their website, they say, if you don't want to go, you can do something else with your time, which that's, you can't say better than that. That's the way I look at it. So...
Well, and I don't blame them. I mean, they don't know what the rules are going to be come then, and hedging their bets, requiring vaccines means, you know, the chances of their having to be canceled again seems very slim. So from a business standpoint, it just seems like a smart move.
Yeah.
How interesting, though. I bet a lot of people are going to be excited, though, that it'll be back on.
Oh, yeah.
After being canceled last year, first time in 10 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it started in 2010, and yeah, it's the first time it's ever been canceled.
What if we start anti-vax land weekend?
Oh my god, I'm not opening that can of worms.
Oh my god.
We'll be like close enough to where we can see the official Wasteland Weekend, but
just across the desert.
Oh my god!
The neighbors.
And just Derek says something controversial.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, it was that part. All right.
Oh my god.
We need a jingle for that. Somebody.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, somebody's gonna get an idea from that, Derek. They're gonna do
well,
it.
Well, if you make money off of it, you know I'm a lawyer, so you better cut me in for some of it. Sweet, sweet money. And you know, who knows, like then we can make it a rival thing and have Johnson & Johnson is like lining your pockets to shut it down.
Val,
Derek says something else controversial.
Yeah. Derek says 10 things controversial.
Derek says something controversial. There we go. We got it.
That's our jingle. I love it.
What I think is funny about this, though, is people are getting upset about the mask thing. And it's like, look, you know, before all this happened, people were wearing full masks anyway, you know, as part of like their costumes.
That's so what just, I was thinking as you were talking. I'm like, aren't they usually like wearing like big ass air filter masks anyways?
That's such a good point. It should be gas masks required. Just go
all
the way.
Same theme. Yeah.
All right, so they're requiring vaccines and masks?
No, they're saying vaccines, but maybe masks. They're waiting to see what California says about it.
Mm. Okay. All right. Man. Okay. Few controversial things going on.
I was thinking about to say, is this start another part?
Okay, so if you are interested in post-apocalyptic cars, specifically the ones that have appeared in media before, we are running a kind of
Carmageddon.
Kind of, yes, Carmageddon. Thank you for stealing my thunder.
Sorry. Oh, dang it. All right, rewind. Do it again.
There goes the punchline. Tina is writing a tournament right now, and we just published the first round of the tournament. It's the Mad Max car versus the Cherry car.
Yeah, the one from what was it called? Cherry 2000. So what she's doing is she's putting cars from different movies, post-apocalyptic movies, up against each other, and like writing a story basically about how the battle would go. And it's really interesting because it's you know, she pits in this first one. This is the first round, so it's not the end of it. She's going to be doing this for weeks. So the first round is Mad Max's Pursuit Special, the Interceptor, from the first two movies. And then against Cherry 2000's 65 Mustang, which is also totally post-apocalyptic, you know, and kind of like writing a story about how they would battle it out. And then the winner from that goes on to the, you know, the next part of the tournament. And then from there, they'll fight you know, it's a tournament style.
Carmageddon.
Yeah, Carmageddon. There
you did it
there
way better than me.
Yeah, we'll cut out Val's voice.
But you
Wait,
gotta
Val
go.
Edits it.
Oh yeah, you're in trouble there. I'm gonna add echo to Carmageddon.
Graphics.
Yeah.
You put filters over yours to make it sound better and like, make mine sound worse somehow.
Yeah, hype. Put the pitch a little bit higher. Yeah. Like,
just the whole episode of the podcast makes me sound like a pip squeak. So check that out. We have the whole bracket set up in that article. So if you want to see what are the pairings, who versus who, and it's going in tournament fashion, check that out. Yeah. Okay, so we're about to get into Spoilerville, but before we do, I want to make a few statements. First statement, get on the Discord.
Yeah.
Mic drop right there. Get on. That's the tweet. Get on the Discord, and also if you're on Facebook, go ahead and do a little searchy search for Apocalypse Junction. That's our new thing. And at Apocalypse Junction, you'll find links to several of our new groups. We have a group for Fear the Walking Dead, or just The Walking Dead in general, which includes Fear the Walking Dead. We've got a group for you. If you're into Attack on Titan, we have a group for that. Also, you can check us out on TikTok.
Yeah.
Sean's got the TikTok up and running. We are going to be putting some really good.
So if you want to see TikTok a 45-year-old man put what he does on TikTok, that's...
Okay, boomer.
Yeah.
Bye. So far, it's been my cat. So yeah.
It's good. It's going to be great.
Yeah, well, it's Sean is underselling it. He is very popular on TikTok.
Yeah, he's taking
off. I'm kind
of
a big deal. I mean,
we're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're everywhere. Everywhere you turn, we've got a post-apocalyptic emissary waiting to like greet you to post-apocalyptic Twitter or whatever, wherever you are. So so you always feel at home. You always have a friend. We have a calendar on our website, and you know, it's real easy to get to. It's right at the top. Click the calendar button or go to an article, read an article. You'll see the calendar on the right side. It's that easy. You can click a button to add everything from our calendar into your own personal calendar. You can click a button just to add a single event. Each calendar event has a timer that counts down to when it occurs. Which isn't always exact, because a lot of times we're just guessing as to when something's going to come out. We don't know for sure. The website doesn't seem to be as buggy as it used to be, so that's good. However, I noticed last night our privacy policy just disappeared. So we do have a privacy policy. Don't sue us, because I'm trying to get it back up on there, but we are... legally in precarious ground.
Bella in chat says, you can click a button to follow here. Yeah, go to twitch.tv/postapocalypticmedia.
They make it so easy? So easy. Wow.
Thanks, Bella.
Anything else from the comments to discuss?
No. Val's doing a great job of putting up links of everything you're talking about.
Hey, you're welcome.
Oh, thank you. That's great. Thanks, Val.
You're welcome.
All right.
I didn't want to interrupt, so.
That's the kind of professionalism that you get from a Twitch streamer.
I'm notorious for interrupting, so this is very hard. I think I'm doing okay.
What's your Twitch channel called, Val? So people can check that out,
8BitVal. Twitch.tv/8BitVal. Monday to Friday, starting at 8 a.m. Pacific.
All right. Well, there you go. It is happening over there, by the way.
Thank you.
The 8BitVal channel. Okay, so we have covered everything up until the big discussion. Oh, no, we haven't. We're not getting into Fear of the Walking Dead just yet. Mm. Because I wanted to put Val on the spot. Horizon Zero Dawn is coming out with a sequel soon.
Yes.
And this is a game that went under my radar. It wasn't under my radar. Like, I knew it existed and I saw a few videos, but I never like sunk my teeth into like a 45-minute gameplay video. I never started the game personally, because I don't, first of all, I don't have a PlayStation.
Oh.
Not my choice. It's PlayStation's choice right now, because I would totally buy one if they'd sell me one.
Ugh, where are they?
Right. Where? Do you know anybody personally who has one? Because they may not even be real.
I know a lot of people who have one. They're all Twitch streamers, so. But like, yeah, usually they follow lists like you do, right? You're like on this alert list or whatever, and then when one becomes available, you try to get it, but then you're like half a second too late, and then you don't get one. Mm. But yeah, there's a lot of people who have PlayStation 5s, and they got them from the get-go, right? But it's very rare. I've never seen one in my neighborhood, so probably not going to get one. But what I'm hoping for, though, is that when Horizon Forbidden West is the sequel, when it comes out, I really would, like, it's probably not going to happen, but I would love to see a PlayStation 5 limited edition of Forbidden West. But it's probably not going to happen. But I would really like that. Because, yes, Horizon Zero Dawn is one of my all-time favorite game. I fell in love with that game so hard. And platinumed it. And want to play it again on Steam. And will be doing 100% playthrough with that, too. Because I just love the game. Did you say that you didn't play it because you don't own it, or because you just didn't get the chance to?
It was a mix of some things, but what I want to know is like the gameplay mechanics. What does it harken to? What is it like? If I like this other thing, maybe I'd like playing Horizon.
Huh, that's a good question, actually, because it was one of the first games where I was like, oh wow, this is a really cool game mechanics. I don't know if you've played Days Gone.
No.
Yeah. All right.
But it's a lot like mechanic. Days Gone.
Yeah. It's basically like, you know, while you're attacking, you can, like, you have this wheel choice where you can, like, select a different weapon or, like, create or craft as you're fighting. Like, you can craft traps or, like, Molotov cocktails or whatever. It's the same thing in Horizon Zero Dawn, where you can craft at the same time, and you have like this slow motion aiming to skill that you can do. And anyways, there's a lot to that game. Yeah, but and it's open world, it's freaking beautiful. It is, the acting in that game is fantastic. Ashley Birch is one of my all time favorite voice actor. She is fantastic. Yeah, and the story, like, I don't cry often in games, but this one brought me to tears. And it's just, it's ridiculous because it's not, like, sad. It's just so beautiful and so engaging. Yeah, I really liked it. Really, really loved it. And there's a DLC, and there's so much content.
What's the DLC do? Does it add gameplay mechanics, or is it just more story?
To be honest, I don't remember if it adds game mechanics. I think there were skills added, if I'm not mistaken, but it's more lore. It's more story. It's more quests. And it's really, it explains a lot about the lore of the game as well. So it adds, you know, a lot more story behind it.
Okay. So I'm glad I asked you, because when I watched footage, it didn't come across to me as being that deep as far as the gameplay. It looked more adventure game-ish to me.
Right.
And so I'm glad to know, like, it's more like Days Gone and less like maybe like a linear Zelda, not the one that I crapped on the other week.
God. Okay, so I just have to butt in right now that when you were... I edited the podcast... on the episode that you said that you thought that Breath of the Wild was boring.
Boring, yep.
And my eyes nearly fell out of my skull.
I know, isn't that crazy?
What?
It's so good.
Now
so
we need
good.
A jingle for Val Goes Off.
Yeah, pretty much. Listen, man. I'm passionate about video games, all right? This is my thing.
Breath of the Wild is really good.
Yeah, and it's beautiful, too.
Yes.
And puzzles, and, like, for a Switch game, it's also on the Wii U.
It's so good.
The graphics are wonderful. Like, they did a very good job.
Graphics are like GameCube era graphics.
God.
And I guess if you really like that...
No!
Then it kind of reminds me of Super Monkey Ball a little bit. Maybe
I used to like you, Derek.
Graphics are so gorgeous. I was just playing it again like the other day. I had to quit because I have that Joy-Con drift issue.
Oh my god. Yeah. No.
so I'm gonna have to go purchase another one. But it was very annoying.
I thought Nintendo said they were gonna fix the Joy-Con.
It's take forever.
Yeah, they're never gonna fix it.
I don't have that kind of time. I want to play. Yeah. Exactly. I meant to actually talk to you about how I want to just purchase one, but here you, I guess, here you go. But
all right, Twitch mob, what do you think? Should she buy a new one and give Nintendo more money, rewarding them for their faulty product, or wait for them to fix it?
I would reward them just for Breath of the Wild.
Right? Breath of the Wild is so good. Like, I was trying to throw these bombs onto people by walking to the very edge of a boulder, and Link just kept on walking, kept falling off.
Yikes.
Can't play that way.
No. Even Bella in the chat says, "What?" And she has that emote where you're holding your head like, "What's your problem?" Like,
that's right.
But yeah. No, it was a beautiful game. And I mean, it's no Horizon Zero Dawn, but it's definitely a beautiful game and fun.
You did sell me on wanting to check out Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh my god, do it.
The way you talk about it.
A million times, do it. It's so good. And what I really love about this game, because I like challenging games like the Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Sekiro, blah, blah, blah. So in that game, in Horizon, you have several difficulty levels that you can choose from. Hmm. So if you're not really, you know, if you're in the mood for like something very challenging, then you just put it on hard mode. But if you really want to dig deep into the lore, into the story, and you want to fight, of course you want to play video games, but you don't really want to have that much of a challenge, mm-hmm. there's a story mode where, you know, you can just like beat stuff up but really pay attention to the story and to the lore and you know, everything. Yeah.
So okay, that's selling me more. Like, I'm a lazy fighter, you know, in video games. I don't want to have to switch between 20 different attacks, and I don't ever want to have to block. I just want to do some basic fights and then move on to the story. So that's a selling point.
Yeah, it would be
for
perfect.
Me.
I just want to point out that I called Stephanie a lazy gamer about 3 years ago, and she brings it up all the time.
I do. What was the game we were playing, Derek?
We were playing Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
Yes.
Which is this cooperative game where you like pilot the spaceship, but like you run to these different stations and we'll do different things. And Stephanie refused to ever drive the spacecraft.
That's
because
the
most challenging part. And I insisted that she do it once, and she just like kept driving us straight into the danger and killing us until she proved that she's not fit for that job.
It's true. I can't deny this. This is an accurate retelling.
Oh my god. Just so, drive me places so I can do stuff. I don't want to do it. Yeah.
So I got the label of lazy gamer and lazy player.
Yeah, and she denied it. And like, she always brings it up as like
evidence
that I'm being too harsh on her. But I just want to point out, she just admitted to being a lazy fighter. I don't want to change weapons. Give me one good weapon for the rest of the game.
Right. Oh, but that's the downside of Breath of the Wild, though, because you constantly have to change weapons. They keep breaking.
You know, that's true. And I don't mind that so much, as long as I don't have to think about all of these different moves, you know, all these different attacks that I have to do. Like, I've managed to get through the game with just like two attacks and never blocking, and it's great. It is kind of fun to have to go find new weapons. I don't know. I do kind of like finding new weapons and getting mushrooms and fruits and, you know, cooking them is a little boring, but at least the cooking part is short, you know, but it is kind of cool to try to find new recipe combos.
Right.
It's fun. Anyway, Derek's feeling like the Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like I have to make the argument for why I think it's boring when Stephanie's like, I like to cook more food and It's anyways, I'm gonna move on before I dig the hole
yep,
too deep.
Let's go.
Okay, last topic of the day. We've got Fear the Walking Dead just returned from hiatus, and it has a totally new flavor. It is, first of all, the beginning of this season, fantastic. Are we calling it a different season? Did we just start a new season, or is this a continuation?
Continuation. Ugh. Part two of season six.
Just give
us
real old school seasons. Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't spoiler alert! Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, yeah, that's. You can work on the song, but yes, we need. We need to make that very clear. We're going to spoil that episode here. So if you are checking out, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you coming by. We're going to be back every week. So maybe on Twitch, maybe not. We haven't announced that yet. We'll be announcing that in the Discord if we're going live on Twitch. But every Friday, at least, you will see this podcast pop up on YouTube, pop up on your favorite podcasting app. So please subscribe to us, join us on Discord, come check out our website. Sean and Stephanie are writing articles all the time about just about every topic under the sun. So check that out. We've also got Tina writing articles, Carolyn sometimes. It's a whole thing. So without further ado, Fear the Walking Dead came back, and we have, plot-wise, we have, what's the lady's name? Victoria or something?
Virginia.
Virginia. Virginia is in charge of a post-apocalyptic community. She's a little on the corrupt side, you could say, but there are redeeming qualities of her community. She really wanted John Dory to be her sheriff, but she also wanted him to do things that he wasn't ethically comfortable with doing, like pinning a crime on somebody who didn't do it. So he's gone. He left. And the episode starts out with him deciding that life isn't worth living anymore. Any commentary from there, Steph?
Oh, yeah, no. He starts out, like you said, he's gotten to this point where he feels like his life isn't worth living. He's haunted by his dad. His dad had... pre-apocalypse, his dad was in law enforcement and had planted evidence on someone that he was positive was guilty. And I guess we're supposed to assume that they were guilty, but he felt like he was serving the greater good, but none of his colleagues viewed him the same. And John Dory feels like he's kind of following in his dad's footsteps in some ways. He decided to leave Virginia and not be, you know, just try to escape, even though she might try to hunt him down. And June didn't want any part of that. So the love of his life is not with him. And yeah, he's just basically over the whole thing. And then Morgan and Dakota, who is Virginia's little sister who is fleeing from her, show up and they convince him at least to live long enough to help them clear out this bridge full of zombies so that they can get to this new town that Morgan's building. And Morgan is hoping that in the process, he will convince John to keep on living and go with him to his new town and his quest.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, okay. So I'll interject here and say John Dory has been my favorite character.
Yes.
Of the series since he was introduced. He is OP, sure. But the series needed somebody who's OP. They needed a gunslinger, and I liked his backstory. He trained with the gun in a like fictional setting. He was just a showman basically. But he's still really good with the gun, and that translated into real skill at killing. So I really loved how that unfolded. And I really liked the way they were going with Dakota as well. She was fleeing Virginia, trying to get freedom, trying to get out of there in whatever way she could. And I just really was liking her character. And I was like, all these characters are dying for her to get out of there, but it's worth it because, you know, or it's going to be worth it. And they're going to give us that payoff. And then this episode completely threw all of that for a loop.
Yep.
big time. So go ahead.
Oh, no, I just said big time. Go on.
Yeah, big time. So and here's, you know, here's exactly, you know, what we're referring to. We've already given spoiler warnings. John is working with the group and he finds out a secret of Dakota's. And Dakota is like, I've got to kill you. I've got to kill you because you know my secret now. And John's like, no, 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 I'm cool. I'm cool, Dakota. Don't worry about it. And she doesn't care. And she murders John.
Oh.
Murders him. And that was heavy. And not what I expected from the series. John has been a central character for a long time. And it hurt to say goodbye to him like that. And to make matters worse, which is something I really appreciate, but it... making it hit harder is we watch as John struggles to live. And people who are familiar with these kind of series, in their head, they were going, oh, okay, you know, he's not really going to die.
So from a scale from Carl to Glenn, where does his death stack up?
I say, first of all, I challenge you on putting Carl down below Glenn. I would invert that. big time.
I was gonna say they're both. Those were both awful. I don't know if I could rank one over the other.
Glenn's an interesting thing to bring up because Glenn had his close call with death shortly before his real death. You know, the trash can thing where if you just wait under a trash can, the zombies lose interest or something. I don't know. But Glenn ends up dying. John Dory in this episode is putting a gun in his mouth, wanting to die before he actually does get killed involuntarily. So I think that's an interesting parallel to see how they get you in the mood to see that character die. Yeah. So I would say that it's up there with Carl for me. Carl was another one that I really loved as a character. I thought he was needed in the series, which is how I also feel about John Dory.
Yeah.
And they still killed them, which is good in a way. Like, I like to watch a show not knowing, not being comfortable. Like, you know, when there's a lead character and you know they're invincible and it doesn't matter what's going on in the plot, you're comfortable because you're like, it doesn't matter. They're going to find a way. Yeah.
So instead of Carl, I should have said, well, the other guy who died with Glenn, like, what was his
Abraham.
Name again? Abraham. Yeah, just, so from Abraham, to scale,
definitely.
I apologize.
Closer to Glenn, for sure.
Closer to Glenn than to Abraham?
Yeah.
Abraham was a very good character,
he
too.
Was.
He was. He's just secondary character, really.
It wasn't as heartbreaking for, I mean, it was sad. I mean, it was sad, but yeah, like you said, he was a more secondary character. So in terms of affecting the show and such. Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. And it's interesting, Derek, that you bring up Carl, because I was just reading this article I wrote back when it was first announced that Rick was leaving Walking Dead. And I still agreed with it. I wrote this for Post Apoc, and I was lamenting about how if Carl had still been alive, it would have been so much better as far as dealing with Rick leaving, because Carl was being set up to take his dad's place. You know, he was growing, he was becoming a better fighter. It would have been so interesting to see him grow up, take his dad's place, and be even better than his dad was. And I was really lamenting that when they announced Rick leaving, that just how sad it was that we didn't have Carl to step in. And I still feel that way. And as far as Fear of the Walking Dead goes, I feel that way about Nick. He was a great survivor, and getting rid of him I feel like they just all on that show, they always get rid of the best characters, which is very annoying. Like Nick was my favorite and they got rid of him. And John Dory kind of replaced Nick as my favorite. Mm. And now he's gone. And I feel like in terms of how interesting the show is, and I mean, I agree with you, Derek, it's better as far as not having any idea who's going to live and the stakes being higher. But man, do they have to choose those?
Right. There was like every black character for the first five seasons basically. And they were all like the best characters when they died.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, it was so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it's John Dory being gone is really, really sad.
Yeah, but Negan's still kicking.
Yes. Negan is around. I want a Negan spinoff.
Well, he's a fan favorite, so of course he's going to stay. It's just like Daryl and Carol and, you know.
But on Fear the Walking Dead, they kill the fan favorites.
Yeah. Yikes.
You know?
Yeah, I haven't kept up with Fear the Walking Dead. So.
It's sad. They like to kill the fan favorites. It's, I don't know. Who would be the next one to go if they keep killing fan favorites, Derek? Would it be Alicia?
Morgan's the next best, right? Well, I don't know what other people think. I think Morgan's the next best.
Morgan.
They can't kill Morgan. He's the glue between the two worlds, you know?
That's true.
It's true.
That's true. From some of the previews, because I haven't kept up with Fear, and from some of the previews, I thought, oh, wow, did they just kill Morgan? Because at some point, he looked like he was infected or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? But I don't know what was going on there.
They ended a season with making it look like he was going to die. Mm. Or how, I think it was how the season ended. And then he was really sick, but not infected. So he had red eyes and looked like he was infected for the beginning of the season.
Because the walkers didn't look like they were attracted to him, even
though
he was near,
because he had that, they explained it had something to do with like his infection was so, it wasn't a walker infection, but it was so bad that he kind of smelled like death. They weren't attracted to him.
Interesting.
Yeah,
or the fan base made a petition and they won and they kept the character on the show.
Right. It's possible. Or he has an immunity that nobody has discovered yet.
Oh, dude, yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'd like that. I don't like this whole, you know, finding a cure is a dead end thing. I don't remember what season that they did that in The Walking Dead. Probably like two or three. But
yeah, I think it was the second one. Yeah.
Well, second season.
Or was it the first? Because they went to a lab at some point, and they thought, I don't know.
Some characters killed themselves in the lab,
yes.
This is the end for us kind of a thing. And that was heavy. But they dealt with John's suicidal tendencies, I think, really well in this character, in this episode. Mm-hmm. I would just say I've watched all the seasons of Walking Dead, all the seasons of Fear the Walking Dead, and I think they're both hitting on all cylinders right now. There was of course a period of Walking Dead which was really hard to get through for me, and maybe a season or two of Fear as well that was a little slower than what I like, but I think both series, if you ever liked it a little bit, is worth checking out what the current iteration of it is. Because I think they're going in a good direction, but maybe especially Fear. Like The Walking Dead, really. Since Carol's son died, I don't know if they've had a hardcore death quite like John.
Carol's
Dory.
Daughter. Carol's son. Carol had a son.
Like Carol didn't. You mean she
Her
did? She had
son.
An adopted son.
Henry. What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh wow. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I forgot about him at first too, and I was like, "What?
Oh no."
Yeah, Henry's death was. Oh, that was.
That was raunchy.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Henry was just like such a good-hearted kid, just trying to help, you know.
Yeah.
And then we see him murderized. But
wasn't Henry the big brother of the boy and their mother who, like, basically the boy wouldn't shut up in the herd and then got devoured. Is that the one?
I can't remember if they were related to them.
Or they lived in the same village, right?
He was in the kingdom, I think.
Oh.
And the others it's were in Alexandria. Long. But I know who you're talking about, and that kid was super annoying.
Oh, my God. Yes. I'm like, yeah. No.
When my wife and I were watching that part and the kid kept talking, we're like, that would be our kids.
Mom? Oh, no.
Bella says, Val, I think you're thinking of Alexandria. Was it
She's right.
In Alexandria? She's right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Bella. I don't, yeah, man, all those villages, they have me mixed up, but yeah.
It's hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, unless you've got more comments on the latest episode of Fear Stuff, I think that's probably a good place for us to stop.
Yeah, no, I agree. No more comments from me.
All right, well, thank you so much to those people who tuned in to our Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bellatrix.
It's Bellatrix, just call it Bella.
She's, all right. All right.
She's awesome.
All right, yeah, and I see that we've had some from interactions from Okubio.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate you guys coming by.
Thank you.
If you like this format, let us know so that we'll know if it's any good. And if you hate this format, please let us know that as well. We have a whole Discord just dedicated to people bitching about whatever they want. So get in there.
About what we do wrong.
Critique us at Sean with your complaints.
Yes.
You laugh, but that's literally what's happening.
I'm so sorry.
You guys have been great. Thank you so much for stopping by. Postapocalypticmedia.com for everything post-apocalyptic. I encourage you all, stay safe. And as always, always be ready for the big one. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.